Turning your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. We're going to study about a man named Noah. Noah, the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 6 verse 9, was a just man. Let's look in verse 5 to read into our context this morning. Genesis chapter 6 verse 5. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Notice, Noah, in verse 9, was a just man. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us today. I pray for these folks that are gathered here that you will give them plenty out of the Word of God to delight their souls and to encourage them and strengthen them in the things that you've given. Oh, I pray, Father, for those that are saved to be well edified, and these that may be with us today who are lost, that then they read through the Scripture, they will see how simple it is and yet how absolutely necessary it is for them to be saved. Today I pray, Father, you'll fill me with your Holy Spirit, strengthen my body, even in its weakness, by your grace. Magnify your word, glorify your name, honor the Lord Jesus Christ, edify these saints, bring the lost to Jesus. For we ask you to do all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now the Bible tells us here that Noah was a just man, that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so we want to talk about Noah today, because there are several things about Noah that really will help us, given that the day in which he lived is very much like the day in which we live. You see, Noah lived at a time when things in the earth, according to the Bible, were corrupt and they were violent. And rather than go along with this corruption, and rather than go along with this violence that he saw in the earth, he walked with God as a just man. And today, when you look around you, you may not actually think of the world you live in as being very similar to the world that Noah lived in his days, but you know something? This world is very much like it was back then. It is corrupt and it is violent in so many ways. And the Bible tells us before the Lord's return, that's the way it's going to be. He says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And when he gives you the description of those times and you look around you, you think, man, we must be here. The Lord said it's going to be like that before the Lord returns. Things will be as they were during the days of Noah. Things will be as they were during the days of Lot. And destruction is coming just like it did back in those days. But the shocking thing is, and sometimes it even happens to us, people look around and they don't see that there's much wrong with what's going around them in the earth. As a matter of fact, in many respects, they participate in the wrongdoing. People continue on as if there's nothing really bad that's going to happen. The Bible tells us in the days of Noah, in the days of Lot, they bought, they sold, they ate, they drank, they married, they built. And that's what we're doing today. Just like it's going to be a great surprise. It's kind of like business as usual now. But it's not so much of a surprise to you if you're a Bible believer. You see what's happening. You see the downward trend in morality. You see the increase in corruption and violence. You hear about terrorism and things like that. And you go, you know, it's kind of what I've expected. Tribulation is coming. And you need to be prepared. Now, you don't need to prepare to go through the tribulation. There are a lot of people that preach that today. You just need to prepare to escape it if you're not prepared already. In other words, if you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, tribulation is coming, and like Noah, you don't want to be here for that. You'd rather be floating around in a boat than being here in that type of deal. Noah, see, escaped the trouble that came. He was in the boat when the rest of the earth got flooded. Lot escaped the trouble that came. He was led out by the angels from Sodom and Gomorrah before the destruction of their cities. Now, once you've prepared for your escape then, and most of us in here are prepared for that escape, you still need to be the kind of person that Noah was. The Bible says Noah was a just man, and there are things about him that we need to see in this text that will help us to know what God is trying to do in our lives, the pattern that was established in Noah's life that would be the pattern for our life, not to try to live up to it, but to expect it from the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. As you read with me in Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, Noah was a just man. And that's why he could escape the flood. And may I say this, you can be just as well. In other words, if you're here today and you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are just. So often when we try to give a simple description, I keep giving the same simple description of what it means to be justified. But the reason is that it's actually twofold. It's a good illustration. For one thing, and for another thing, repetition is a good teacher. And the idea about justification is simply this. Pretend for a moment that this is God's judgment throne or His judgment bar, and pretend that you have gotten saved and now you've been called in to be tried before the Lord. And what happens when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's like court was convened the moment you trusted Christ. He brought you before His court, and because of what Jesus Christ has already done for you, because Jesus has died for your sins, because Jesus was buried for your sins, because Jesus went to hell for your sins, because Jesus rose from the dead, you stand here and the Lord says, because you have received my Son as your Savior, you are found not guilty. That's justified. And Noah was a just man. And you can be just through what Jesus Christ has done for you. Now the Bible tells us, the just shall live by his faith. That is Habakkuk 2:4. In the New Testament it's quoted and Paul says, the just shall live by faith. You know something? Noah did live by faith. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. I don't know if you knew this, but it had never rained on the earth by the time of Noah's flood. The Lord says, it's going to rain and there's going to be a flood. And he's like, really? What's that? Well, he said, you've never seen it before, but you're going to. And you know something? Noah believed him. And so Noah, the Bible says, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, watch it, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Noah believed God, and Noah built the ark. You have to know there had to be some fear of God in that, because that was a huge venture. Took a long time, and Noah was resoundingly criticized and ridiculed for what he was doing. You must believe God and receive Jesus Christ. He believed God and he built an ark. You believe God and you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Both of those are the escape. That's how you get out of danger. That's how you avoid the destruction. Now, notice the Bible says that Noah moved with fear. You say, I don't think that fear is a good motive for avoiding destruction. I've had people tell me that. Talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'll say to them, you know, if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you die, you won't go to hell. I don't think fear is a good motive. I'm going to tell you something. If you smell smoke in here and the fire alarm went off, you would be a fool to stay seated in your seat. I think you would move with fear somewhere. I don't know if you'd go in the right direction, but you'd be moving. Why? Because you don't want to die by asphyxiation in a fire. Who does? Fear is a good motive for putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Jude 23 says this, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. It's important to do that. You say, well, now, what does all this involve? Well, look here. You're in Genesis chapter 6, if you've kept your Bible open there. Noah was a just man. All right, we'll look at chapter 7, verse 1. The Lord said unto Noah, chapter 7, verse 1, the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen, what's the next word? Righteous before me in this generation. He was a just man, and the Bible says he was a righteous man. Do you know that the Bible said that Lot is also a just man and a righteous man? The Bible says that in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 to 8. Once you trust Jesus Christ, as I showed you, you are justified. The Bible says you are just and righteous. Why is that? The reason is this. When Jesus Christ came to this earth to live, you know, people say, well, he came here to die for our sins. Yeah, but there were a lot of things he had to do before he did that. He healed a lot of people. He lived a perfect life. He established the covenant of his coming kingdom, kind of like the foundation and ground rules in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 of how that kingdom was going to run. He did a lot of those things. But one of the things that Jesus Christ was conscious of in living here in the earth, he was conscious that every day and every night of his life, he had to live a perfect life, a righteous life without sin. He knew that. And the reason is he had to be a perfect sacrifice for our sins, but not only that, there was something that he was going to be able to do for us in salvation that we could not do for ourselves. There's not a person in here today that is righteous of your own merit. You have not led a righteous life. Every person in here is a sinner. That's what the Bible says. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So every person in here is a sinner. So there's the life of Jesus. Here we are, and we're stumbling around, commit this sin and commit that sin, didn't do what we were supposed to and committed that sin because we didn't do what we were supposed to. And we've got this wreck of a life here. And then one day we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and we say, you know something? I want to be saved. I want to be born again, the Bible calls it. And you say, what does that involve? It involves this. It involves trading places, basically, with Jesus Christ. What he gets is all this trash. The Bible says when John the Baptist introduced him to Israel, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And he gives you his life, which is perfectly righteous. He had to live that life so you and I could have righteousness to present on our account to God whenever we face him at a judgment. So Jesus takes all this. He already died for this on the cross. We get this, and we don't have to die for our sins. The Bible says God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now I want to ask you one simple question. You know you're going to be judged and stand before God. Which life do you want to present to him? That one or that one? The one you have that's unrighteous and unjust, or the one he has that is justified and righteous? When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior by faith, you get that one. You get his righteousness, his justification, and you are justified. You are justified by Jesus Christ. I know the great majority, the vast majority of the people in here have already done that. I'm not going to belabor the point. I want to say this. If you haven't, that's what you need to do. And you know what Noah did after that? The Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, that Noah became a preacher of righteousness. In other words, he got it. He didn't keep it to himself. And today, a bunch of you that are justified and righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ are going to go with the rest of a bunch of us, and we're going to go, and you know what you're going to do? You're all going to be preachers of righteousness. You're going to be sowing the seed of the Word of God, letting other people know how you got in, because there is a corrupt and violent world there, and we don't want the people who live in it to go to hell. That's a wonderful thing, just like Noah did. Noah was a just man. What does that simply mean? It means that in our day, it'd be the same thing as you saying, you know what, I heard a preacher preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I got saved. Be you getting saved by receiving Jesus Christ. But that's not all. That got Noah prepared to escape the flood. And listen, that gets you to prepare to escape the coming tribulation and to escape the fires of hell as a result of dying with sin on you. That's a good thing, but that's only the first part. That's not all there was to Noah, but we really wanted to plow deep in that area for a moment in the event we have anybody here without the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. You don't know when this time is coming any more than the people living in Noah's day knew when the time was coming. They were business as usual, and you are business as usual. You need to stop for 1 minute and say, you know what, that guy building an ark is not crazy after all. And that guy preaching the gospel is not crazy after all. It's the right thing to do. All right, now having said that, there are other things about Noah for all of us that we need to recognize. Verse 9 says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, watch it, and perfect in his generations. All right, now perfect doesn't mean that he was sinless. Genesis 6:9. I wish it did. I wish when we got saved that was it and we would never sin again. Man, I tell you what, I would be one happy camper. But it doesn't work like that. But yet the Bible says he was a perfect man. So what does it mean? Well, it means complete. It means sound. It means flawless. The Bible says that Job was a perfect man, and we know that he was also a sinner. And the Bible tells us, and well, I'll just show you. Keep your finger where you are because we're not leaving our text. But go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, so you won't think the preacher is just pulling a rabbit out of his hat. Look what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. All right. Now watch what Paul says as he's closing out these two letters to the Corinthians. He says, finally, brethren, farewell. And they're probably like, wow, that long-winded preacher is finally done. And then the next two words, be perfect. Now he wouldn't tell them to be perfect unless he meant for them to be, help me, perfect. All right, so what does that mean? How do we apply that? Well, you know, when I read about Zacharias, and I read about Elizabeth, John the Baptist's parents in Luke chapter 1. You know what? The Bible says as it concerns the law, they were blameless. They were blameless. You know what basically, it means this. It means basically you can make two applications here. You see, there are a lot of people today, listen, there are a lot of people today who were living this sinful life. They came to a place where they recognized Jesus Christ as their Savior and say, I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I want to be saved. And then they go right on living like they did before they got saved. You know what? That's not perfect. There was no transformation. There was no, in many cases, no even any evidence that the person got saved. They put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they're still running the show. That's not what God wants. What he wants is he wants a sinner that's going, like Jesus is going this way. Sinner's going this way, and he comes to the place where he says, oh, I need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. He gets saved. And then he turns around, and now with Jesus in him, he is living in the direction that Jesus is going, and he's living the life that Jesus wants him to live. Is he sinless? No, but he's perfect in that now he and Jesus are going in the same direction. God can use him. The preacher that's up here today is certainly not a sinless man, but I'm perfect. In this sense, God said, I want a pastor for Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, and there's my man. He made that choice. And so that perfection is simply that he is transforming me. Thank God, you know, for those of us who started together, this preacher has grown. Had to. What does that mean? We're still going in the directions. God's still doing the work. He's still perfecting the man. And he will till Jesus comes, and then I'll get a glorified body. And then you'll say, now you're perfect. And I'll say, yes, thank God, no more sin. But in the meantime, we're like Noah, perfect. Listen, Noah was the man. God said, I need a man who will believe me that it's going to rain when I say it's going to rain, who will stop his buying and selling and his going around and all that other stuff and build this ark. And this is going to take him some time. He stopped and he built that ark and he went around and got all those animals. That thing that Bill Cosby did about Noah was funny when it came to getting that elephant shoved in the door. Y'all remember that? He's shoving that elephant in the door like that, and God shows up. When God shows up, he shows up with a ding, like you get on your phone when you get a message. Ding! And the Lord says, Noah, and he goes, what? He's pushing that elephant in that ark. He said, you got two females. Oh, you just change one. You know, if you don't like it, just change it. Noah, he says, what? How long can you tread water? So I'm telling you, it was an arduous task, man. But he said, I need a man I know that will finish that job. I need a man I know that will believe me. I need a man I know that will do what I ask him to do. That was the man. That was Noah. He was perfect for that. And when God saves you, let me tell you something. He wants you to change. He says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, listen, and perfect will of God. And when you get into the perfect will of God, you're perfect there. See how that goes? And so that's what the Lord is looking for. That's what He wants. I want to ask you something. Are you perfect in your generation? I'm not looking for a show of hands. It's a good thing because I didn't get a show of hands. No, not looking for that. I want you to ask yourself the question, am I where I am supposed to be? Am I doing what God wants me to be doing? Is this transformation process taking place in my life, or am I still trying to live my life contrary to the direction that the Lord wants me to go? If you're still trying to live contrary to the direction the Lord wants you to go, then you know what? If you want to get ready for what's coming, be perfect. That's what Noah did. But that's not all. He was just. He was a just man. He was a perfect man. Look at Genesis 6:9. This is so closely connected the way that I've illustrated it. But let's just make the point anyway. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. I think one of the biggest problems that Christians have today is they don't know who they're walking with. They really don't. Walking with God is not an unconscious experience. Let me give you an example. Cade is not as big as God. He's not as good looking as God, I'm sure. He's not God. Okay? All right, we're going to the back door. I'm going with you. You're going to the back door? Okay, I'm going with you. Am I fairly conscious of the fact that I'm walking with Cade toward the back door? Well, absolutely. Okay, and then you stop and turn around. Okay, but you're telling me we're running. Okay. See, it's obvious that it's obvious to you that I'm walking with Cade. It's obvious to, okay, all right. It's obvious to Cade that I'm, see, we do these illustrations from time. He's getting the hang of how, oops, I'm with you, baby. You make those turns, I'm right on it. Okay, good. Time to sit down? No, okay, good. Oh, phew, wow. Oh, I knew that was. You see, that thing about walking with God is not some, like, I don't know if I am or I'm not. If you're walking with God, you know it, listen, and other people know it too. And God knew that. And I think really and truly, one of the big problems that with Christians today is they don't know who they're walking. They don't know if they're walking with the devil, if they're walking with the world. They don't know who they're walking with. And you got to know who you're walking with. And one of the best ways to do that is get up in the morning, open the Bible, read it, and get your walking instructions, and then walk with the person that talked with you. And then, you know, somebody said this. He says, your talk talks and your walk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. And that's pretty important. And so, listen, if you're walking with God, you don't have to worry about hypocrisy. Because you and God are in the same, you're going where God wants you to go. You're with Him, whatever He's doing. And the beauty of that is, if God doesn't feel like walking that day, then you two can just kind of rest. You know, He told the Jews on the Sabbath day, I just want you to rest. There wasn't any place. He said, I don't even want you walking whatever it was, an eighth of a mile. Just rest. Sometimes your walk with God involves resting. People don't rest anymore. Back in the old days when I was a kid, we had blue laws here just to keep people out of the stores on Sunday so people would take time with their families and go to church. And today, you talk to people and say, well, we don't have time to go to church. You know why? They don't rest with God when God's resting. You get the idea. If I'm not doing something and keeping busy, I'm just backslidden. That's not true. Sometimes you get backslidden because you don't stop when God stops. So he was a godly man. He walked with God. He was a just man. He was a perfect man. He was a godly man in that he walked with God. He knew it, and other people knew it. And that's not all. Noah was a family man. Look here. Verse 9 says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, you know what the neat thing was? He and those boys and their wives all got on that ark together. That's a good thing. In other words, he didn't just have the boys. A man and a woman can get together. They can have a boy. But to get some boys that will follow you into an ark when everybody else in the world is going, you are not, man. It still hadn't rained when they go inside the ark. Nothing's happened. They're not even, probably not even, there aren't any clouds. It's just, they're in there like, meh, meh, meh. And they're like, look at those idiots in that thing. Until, down comes the rain. They're like, oh, wait, can we get in? Sorry, door shut. Can't get in. Sealed. You see the deal? The thing is, a lot of times, that problem with kids who have saved parents is you get to a certain age and you're like, ooh, I don't want my friends to know that my mother and father go to that church. Because, I mean, they preach the Bible and they live for God. And right now we want to live in sin. Ha ha. You know what I'm telling you? It is hard to be a family man of God. It is hard to get your children to come along with you in the ways of God. Am I right? That's tough. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you, the way this world is today, if you don't at least try and put forth every effort that the Bible shows you about how to raise your children, you can be pretty sure that they won't be with God. But if you put in the effort, if you follow what God says and raise those children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ the way the Bible says, there's a real good possibility when they go through their teen years and into their 20s, they're going right along with you. That's right. We made a very unwise decision, not realizing it at the time, with our oldest children, in that when it came time for them to go off to college, we took them to a place where there was a college and took them to a place where there was a good church next to that college. We got involved with the church, got them all set up like that. And buddy, I'm going to tell you what, they don't teach the same thing in college that you're hearing right now. As a matter of fact, they teach exactly contrary to what you're hearing right now. And we thought, boy, we've got a good foundation. These children have been in church all the time. They've heard the kind of preaching you've been listening to for all these years. But I'm going to tell you what, in a year, they undid everything that had been done in 18 years. Now, I say that with a great deal of regret today. Now, listen, I understand this. They make their own choices. It did not have to turn out this way. So I don't go to bed at night and beat myself up because of the choices that they have made. What troubles me is I didn't follow through in the older time with the things that I established with them in the younger time. In other words, if you know it's corrupt and violent out there, say, well, go out there where it's corrupt and violent and get your education so you can get a job out there. And boy, there was a whole lot more going on than that. Sober thought. Now, let me tell you something. You want your kids in Christ? Well, you know, I don't remember when we announced it, Randy, but I just came back and I told folks, I said, you know something? We have a good university here, and we have a good university down in Kingsville, and we got a good community college at Del Mar. Just let your kids live at home with you. That saves room and board. They can stay in a good church with the friends they've grown up with. That saves those influences, and then let them get the education they need. They go like a go get the education, come back, and don't get uprooted. And may I tell you something? That was when we started the college and career class, and for the most part, there's not an empty seat in that room out there for the children who made, and parents that made that decision. And may I tell you something? Your children are still with you. You say, yeah, but you don't know how they live. Well, I'm going to tell you what. They're doing pretty good. They're here with you today. That's a big deal. And you say, well, they have a rough time. No question they have a rough time. It's corrupt and violent out there. Undoubtedly, Shem, Ham, and Japheth had a rough time with their friends too. But I'm going to tell you something. He was a family man, and he tried. Lot didn't try. Lot didn't try. He got out of there with his wife and two daughters, but the ones that had married, they stayed in the fire and burned up, and the two daughters that came out with him, all they knew about how to procreate was to sleep with their own father. I don't think it worked out very well, do you? He got out, but they didn't get out with him. We need to be concerned that our children get out with us. And in order to do that, you have to go through the painful exercise every day of recognizing, I brought this child in the world. It is absolutely incumbent to me to be able to live my life and help these children live their lives in such a way that they don't fall prey. They may. And you cannot beat yourself up about it when they do. But you got to try. They're your children. You say, well, that's Tony's job. No, it's your job. Tony's job is to help you. But those are your children. They are your children. And what they watch, if they get to see corruption and violence on television, and then they walk out in a world of corruption and violence, they hear a preacher preach for 30 or 45 minutes against that kind of stuff, they're going to say, man, but I like Hollywood. And they're going to go for that stuff. Yeah. Amen. Okay, he was a family man. So he was a just man. He was a perfect man. He was a godly man. He was a family man. This is all just getting, you know, just how to live in a world that's corrupt and violent. Verse 11, you know what he was? He was a separated man. I'll make these quick. You're getting the feel here. Genesis 6:11, the earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. It's no different than that today. People say, what are we going to do about terrorism? You're going to separate yourself is what you're going to do. He didn't go along with the violence, and he didn't go along with the corruption. And we shouldn't either. He walked with God, and he kept himself from their wicked ways. People in Christianity, a lot of times, you know what they do? Let's just do it this way. Let's say that this middle of the sanctuary, or this middle of the auditorium, is the crossover line, the threshold of going from righteousness to sin. Okay? So, a lot of Christians today, if sorry guys, y'all the sin, and y'all are the righteous, yay! And this is the deal. Most Christians like to live like this. Excuse me, God, you got to move over just a bit. Yeah, thank you. They kind of like, see how close I can, yeah, I'm coming. Live to the line of sin without going across the line. And that's a difficult way to live, the way of transgressors. Sorry, Irene. The way of transgressors is hard. Why don't you live over here? Why don't you live over here? You say, well, that'd be dull. You don't know. You've never tried it. I'm serious. You don't know what it's like to be content with God and so far separated from that that if you do mess up, you hadn't even got close to the line of threshold. Live there. Say, yeah, but I like my music. And I like my friends. Well, I'm going to tell you where they're going to lead you. This way. And then you'll be over here. Excuse me. Stumbling. I know I shouldn't be here, but this is so much fun. And after a while, over here. Knee deep, head deep, swimming in it. Aren't we having fun? When you wake up in the morning with the pains of sin? No, you're not. And you're going to be over there one day crying right here. And somebody says, what are you crying about? I wish I'd lived over there. But then it's just going to be a wish because you didn't. You say, well, I haven't. All right, then separate yourself from it and go over there now. And learn to be content with Jesus Christ. You'd be shocked how good it is over there. And then finally this, in Genesis 6, look at verse 22. At the end of the chapter, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Ah, isn't that something? according to all that God commanded him, so did he. He was a faithful man. He was a faithful man. And I'm going to tell you what, faithfulness is one of the greatest attributes. Listen, when you marry, you're going to want a faithful spouse. You are. You're going to want somebody you know, if you have to take a trip out of town and she's at home, that you come home and you still have a faithful wife and everything between you is perfect because neither one of you did anything in your absence that would destroy that. That's the way that Noah was. Noah, God said, build that ark, get those cattle. I want 7 pairs of the clean ones. I want a pair each of the unclean ones, and I want them in that boat, get plenty of food in there, build the thing this big, that wide, that high, put the window here, put the door there. He did it all. Just like God said. The Bible says, by faith, he built that ark. He was a faithful man. And he did all the Lord commanded him to do. I want to ask you something. Are you perfect? He said, not today. Why don't you get with God and say, let's get that straightened out. Are you godly? Are you walking with God? Do you know you're walking with God? Do others know you're walking with God? Are you a family man? Family woman? Those kids you brought into the world, are you doing everything you possibly can to make sure when they're older, they're still in the boat? Are you separated from the world, or do you leave here and then it's woohoo, back in, you know, plug into Hollywood and fill your house and brain full of all that worldliness? Are you faithful? Are you doing right now? Can you honestly say, I'm doing what God wants me to be doing? I know what that is and I'm doing it. You say, well, no, then you're not prepared like Noah was. You're not living in a corrupt and violent society like Noah was. So what do I need to do about it? Change it. That's why Noah's example is in there for us. So we can say, you know what? By God's grace, we're going to chart out in a different way. You know what this church is filled with right now? This church is filled with people who were going along, as I described here, some saved and some lost. Many of us were living our lives for ourselves, and we were having our time. We were doing our work. We were doing our thing. We were doing it the way we wanted to do. And we had a head-on collision with Jesus Christ. Some of us, this is when we got saved. Some of us, we got saved and we kept trying to get Jesus to go our way. And then one day he put his foot down and said, we're gone as far as we're going your way. Many of us are here today like that. And God spun us around and we started living this way. You know what? If we were to get every person up here that I just described, you'd be, first of all, surprised how many of us there are in here. And secondly, you'd be surprised that everybody could name the day that God dealt with them about the way they were living and the change they had to make, and they spun it around. And now, they have gone so much further down the road, we have gone so much further down the road with Jesus Christ since that day, you don't even know that day ever existed in our lives. Which is a good thing. So what am I saying? I'm saying today can be that day for you. This message didn't come up by accident. It's here on purpose. This day could be the day you spin around and say, you know something? I want to be like Noah. And I want it so that when Jesus comes back, no one will ever know I was moving in that direction. They'll think I always walked with God. You got that opportunity to make that decision today, or you got the opportunity to walk out of here and just business as usual. Eat and drink, marry, buy, sell, and build, and wait till the coming destruction. I don't advise it. Last question, are you a just man? Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Because if you haven't, none of these other things we've talked about even pertain to you until you get saved. And our hope and desire and prayer is that today Jesus Christ firmly implanted in your heart and mind, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Let's pray. Father, we ask you please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to fill us with your Holy Spirit. Those of us who are here so we can be responsive to what we've heard. Father, there are some Christians in here, some families in here, and they need to make some serious decisions about the stuff they just heard today. Doesn't do us any good just in one ear and out the other. We got to do something about what we've heard. And Father, we may have amongst us somebody that is terribly under conviction about the condition of his soul or her soul without Jesus Christ, and that they need to do something about what you've done for them by receiving Jesus Christ. Father, have your will and your way in this invitation. It is way beyond the ability of a man to do what you can do here. So we yield to you and ask you to move as you choose. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you a very simple question. Is there anybody here today that would like to be a just man by receiving Jesus Christ as his Savior or her Savior today? Is there anybody? Just slip your hand up and say, "Preacher, yes, I want Jesus. I got to be justified." Anybody? All right, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Anybody here today that says, "Preacher, you just showed me something in Noah's life that doesn't look anything like mine in this and that area. Please pray for me. We got to make some changes." If you like that, just slip your hand up. Thank you, thank you. I want to pray for you. Thank you. I see your hands. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I see that. Anybody else? Pray for you. All right, Father, we thank you today for the hands that have been raised or people here that said they needed what they heard today from the Scripture. You spoke to them in one area of this message today, at least, that helped them to see the need to make an adjustment according to what we've seen in Noah's life. I ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help them, Heavenly Father, while they're here, to make this the day that allows them to turn and get back in line with where you are. And we ask you to do these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.